Hey, I'm Gina Fears, and you are listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light.
239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoons with Amos. So, lines are open. What is on your mind today? Is there a problem we can solve, a question we can answer, an injustice we can bring justice to, some darkness we can shine a light on, some mess we can clean up? Cleaned up a bunch of it yesterday. 239-1310. So yesterday, we had all this excitement and off a story off of Fox 59. And so last night on Fox 59's 11 o'clock program, they did a follow-up story to all of the controversy, the problems that Broad Ripple have had for many years in not really acting like they are a welcoming place. Promoters, club owners, law enforcement, etc. What we're about to play you is the audio of Nicole Pence's story that aired last night at 11 o'clock. In the television business, normally a story on television runs about a minute, minute 20 seconds. If it's one of those investigative stories, you know, when a Rafael Sanchez is chasing people down the street, or a Bob Siegel reaching into a dumpster somewhere, or Sandra Chapman or Kara Kenny, you know, really putting the fear of God in somebody, that might run 2.5 minutes. Fox 59 went 5 minutes and 8 seconds on a story, which is an unprecedented length, you know, on local newscasts for 5 minutes, and touches on a number of subjects. We'll play that in case you weren't watching Fox 59 last night at 11 o'clock, because there are other other channels at 11 o'clock, and get your comments to this, and I'll have some as well.
Story we ran last night about obscene ads promoting clubs in Broad Ripple. This story spurred a big reaction on social media, which tells us there is much more to this than just ads. So tonight, we are taking a closer look at this conversation.
I thought I was going to have a nice, quiet day, but all kind of stuff is going on.
Talk show host Amos Brown led today's show on AM 1310 with our story from Newspoint Monday night. But public safety leaders say it's creating a bad image for Broad Ripple.
Over the years, not just a perception of reality, that African Americans don't feel welcome in Broad Ripple, and the folks who run Broad Ripple have never seen fit to come to our community and say, welcome! And that kind of hit a nerve last night with a story on the brand new Fox 59 newscast.
Since 7 people were shot July 4th weekend on the Strip, Metro Police and the Department of Public Safety have been watching social media ads in Broad Ripple more closely. Chief Rick Height talked to Fox 59 after the violence.
We have a wholesome community where between the hours of 9 in the morning and between 9 in the evening, we have family-oriented events.
Earnings and a better full year.
At 10 o'clock, it changes. Chairs more into adult, somewhat entertainment, where we have bars and restaurants catering to a population.
These are some of the ads public safety leaders are questioning. That's what started a heated and emotional conversation that has already been going on in this city.
No disrespect to you, no disrespect to the videographer and the editors of the story. I think it did strike a nerve. There's a problem with race relations in this entire city and county in a number of levels. It's not just problems in Broad Ripple.
A story about lewd advertising turned into a discussion about race relations.
Broad Ripple itself, they don't want black people up there really, man, because I used to go up there a lot. We have been doing Stop the Violence events for the past 2 to 3 weeks.
I haven't personally experienced mistreatment in Broad Ripple. However, I witnessed it.
Mark Williams was one of the many people who reached out to me on Twitter, concerned about our story. Look at his reaction to one of the ads police picked out. It's so offensive, we can't show it to you on TV.
Here's an advertisement that I couldn't show on TV.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. That's real interesting.
Define interesting.
That's interesting in the sense of I don't know what else that could be a description of than what I think it is, which is unnecessary.
Williams thinks the focus isn't ads. It's about community relations in Broad Ripple.
To me, it seems like people are more upset with the bigger picture, which is that certain people are not welcome in Broad Ripple, or at least they feel certain people are not welcome in Broad Ripple. I'm glad you at least did the story, because it's generating the conversation I think we need to have. If we're uncomfortable about the stories, then I think that's our call to maybe we need to start doing something different.
And also tonight, in response to this story, IMPD declined our on-camera interview request, but released this statement saying, in part, they are committed to ensuring public safety for all our citizens and to reducing violence, not only in the Broad Ripple Village, but in all Indy neighborhoods. The Broad Ripple Village Association is hosting a public forum to talk about safety tomorrow night. I reached out to them this afternoon, asking if the group has invited African-American community leaders to those discussions. The president told me they leave that up to IMPD. Tomorrow's public forum is a conversation that needs to happen in our community. It starts at 6:30 at Northminster Presbyterian Church. And as for the DJ and the promoter who were fired on Monday, we talked with both nightclub owners today to get more details as to why the two were let go. Mike Stancombe is the general manager of Nix. Stancombe says he fired the DJ and promoter Monday morning, way before our story aired on Newspoint.
You don't have a problem with the advertisement that was shown that police feel is problematic.
No.
You do not have a problem. Then why did you cut your ties with DJ Cash and with the promoter connected to that?
It's called pressure.
What pressure?
Just pressure.
From whom?
I'm getting pressure. My father got pressure. We had to make a business decision, and that's that.
When did you cut those ties? Before the story ran or after?
Yesterday morning. And I don't like what Broad Ripple's becoming, and I think we could fix it if somebody will fix it and do it the right way.
Who is somebody?
The city needs to get behind the businesses.
Land Sharks owner Mark Casey says he also fired the DJ and promoter before our story aired. Casey says the ads promoted sex, violence, and drugs. We reached out to the DJ for a comment, and he declined to go on camera.
All right, so that was the story last night, Tuesday night, on Fox 59 at 11 o'clock. The one thing that I really had a problem with in last night's story, it was nothing that Nicole Penn said. Nothing that the promoter said, nothing that the club owner, said. It was a, quote from the alleged quote, because all I got was a little bit of a quote. We don't have the full, soundbite of what they said. Was from a gentleman by the name of Justin McKeon, who is the president of the Broad Ripple Village Association. They're having a public forum to talk about safety tonight, 6:30 p.m. over at Northminster Presbyterian Church. And evidently this gentleman told Fox 59 they've not, you know, directly invited African-American community leaders to those meetings or discussions. We leave that up to IMPD. I went to the, there's a website that monitors nonprofit organizations called GuideStar.org. And I went on there, actually went on there just before we came on the air, because I wanted to find out about the Broad Ripple Village Association, Drew. And on this website, GuideStar.org, which is a free website, you can look up the tax returns of nonprofit organizations, Drew. So the Broad Ripple Village Association, this is their latest tax return, which is from the calendar year 2012. And on the tax return, they asked, briefly describe the organization's mission or most significant activities. And the Broad Ripple Village Association says, quote, their mission is to support and encourage a spirit of community cooperation in village development and beautification, to serve as a community liaison to the city of Indianapolis, and to engage in all other lawful activity. Ooh, doesn't that sound good? Don't they sound good? So if you're the Broad Ripple Village Association, so you're the Neighborhood Association of Broad Ripple, and part of your mission is encouraging a spirit of community cooperation, and part of your mission is to serve as a liaison to the city of Indianapolis, then why in the world would the head of that association, when asked by the media, why wouldn't you reach out to the African-American community about, you know, if there are any problems or perceived problems in your neighborhood? Your answer is, we leave that up to the police. It's not the police's job. That's your job, as I'm reading your mission statement, to support and encourage a spirit of community cooperation and to serve as a community liaison to the city of Indianapolis. That's not just the corporate city of Indianapolis. That's to all of us. There's some other issues involved. Let me start with Charles. Hi, Charles.
Yes, I wonder why we get so offended when people, areas, the Circle Center down there, well, Broad Ripple, mm-hmm. those people don't like us. They don't know how to come right out and say it, but they don't. They don't like how we look. They don't like how we act. We dress and conduct ourselves terribly. We flirt after white women the wrong way. We do everything up there wrong.
Charles, you were doing fine, but I want to ask you, how do you know that?
Hold on a second.
Let me go back to the last two statements you made.
Yes.
You know, on chasing after white women.
Sure.
Okay. How do you know that?
Because that's what the guys say, and the black girls and the young people that go up there, they'll tell you.
And you're telling me, wait a minute, hold on. So mm-hmm. back in the day.
Uh-huh.
Back on the avenue.
Uh-huh.
Back in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Young people, young African Americans in their 20s and 30s weren't doing that.
But not to the level that it's being done today.
Hold it. What do you mean not to the level? What do you mean by that?
Well, there is a wholehearted acceptance of it, but we're raggedy and nasty attituded about how we do the things that we do. We act nasty.
But wait a minute. You have so this is based upon what you've heard.
Oh, and observation, and being around.
Wait a minute. I get that, but you have not been at Broad Ripple on a Friday and a Saturday night between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. to witness that these alleged things are going on?
So how do we know
that is what's going on?
Well, they have a problem. We've got this whole community so politically correct that they won't come out and say out of their mouth as to what it is that's causing
the
problem.
But see, Charles, that is the issue that I'm trying to raise, and I'm not trying to pick on you.
If a white man were to come out and say that, just like I said it, look at the uproar. Wait a minute, let me be very blunt, and I mentioned this on the program yesterday.
Okay. That when the first time problems jumped off downtown mm-hmm. at Circle Center Mall,
right,
and this was in the late 90s, so this was not yesterday, you know, I got a call from Tamara Zahn, very nice lady who ran Indianapolis downtown. And she said, Amos, we have a problem. We have a very serious problem. And she was very direct in a pleasant way. But she was very direct at what the problem was with what she was seeing with her own eyes with African-American teenagers. Okay. And rather than us relying on her eyes. Okay. She said, I need you, and then she calls a bunch of others. I need you to come see it for yourself. Okay? And we did. If you remember way, way back when, this was in the 80s.
Yeah.
And there was the problem of cruising on Madison Avenue.
Right.
Cruising on 38th Street. The motorcycle people hanging downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Hudnut called a group of us and said, I want y'all to see this. And Dick, this was when Richard Blankenbaker was public safety director. We talked way back when. We all got on one of those elongated, metro buses then that they just now brought back. Those stretch buses.
Right.
And it was blacks and whites, elected officials, ministers, what have you. I mean, we talk about serious folks, and we toured on a Saturday night. We went down 38th Street. We went over past JTV, the park over at 37th and Dr. King, over there going into Unwind around Golden Hill. We went on the circle. We went down to Madison Avenue because the mayor and the public safety director at the time said, you community leaders need to see this. Okay? And we saw it, and we said, okay, some stuff has to be done. Okay? Remember up in Castleton last year?
Right.
When they had that mess in Castleton.
Right.
The chief went out the next Saturday. I went out there. Several ministers went out there, other leaders, so that we could see what was going on and talk to the people at the mall. And that was at law enforcement, at their invitation. So all I'm saying is there's a lot of chatter about what may or may not be going on in Broad Ripple. My contention is that the folks in Broad Ripple, the leadership in Broad Ripple, I don't know what time to go to Broad Ripple and look and see where these problems are. I don't know whether it's, do I have to go at 10? Do I have to go at 11? Do I have to go to 12? What corner do I stand on? Do I stand on the corner of Broad Ripple and College? Do I go down to Guilford? Do I go down as far as the Applebee's? Where do I go? What am I looking for? You see what I'm saying?
We need to look for the way that our young men and women conduct and carry themselves. We are ugly. We are nasty.
And young whites are nice and prim and proper. I refuse to believe that.
But you've got the right mix. So then you put our nasty up in there with their nasty is what you're doing. But those people, the white people own that area up there. That is their clubs. They don't need us at all. They don't want us, and they wish that we would not come up there.
Oh, yeah.
They can't say that publicly.
It would be a whole lot better
if our conduct, if the way we carried ourselves, if we wouldn't walk around with our pants sagging, if we would walk around. They're doing everything in their power to make us feel as unwelcome as possible, and we know that. And so that just adds to our nasty attitude. And so that's why it's nasty.
What white man
can get on the air, and who is going to say that?
But wait a minute. Why is it nobody yet has called on this program complaining about Justin Bieber's saggy pants?
I know. This is a white man's world, Amos.
Wait, Charles, why is Justin Bieber's saggy pants acceptable and John's saggy pants, who happens to be black, is not?
Because they have the privilege and the power not to like us. The racism is still there. It will always be there.
All right, my brother, let me move on. Let me move on to Reverend Phillips right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to that comment. That was sad. What that guy was saying, I couldn't believe what he was saying. But anyway, Amos, I think that the problem is it ain't deal with no racial, because all of us got somebody in our family going with a white girl, white man. It ain't nothing got to do with no racial, because when we get through with it, we see white boys want to be like us.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't no racial, because every one of us got white people in our family. So, if they, like what you was reading,
mm-hmm.
when you were reading about where it's up to the police.
Right.
Okay. Well, sometimes.
I get
sometimes it. Sometimes people have issues.
No,
you know,
not,
people got issues. They ain't going to come out and say what they really mean.
All right, you made good points. Let me go to Dana at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm fine.
I watch the show, man, a whole lot, man. You know, and I hear y'all talk about the crime and everything that's going on. And, you know, you have the preachers on. And I never hear no one say the real issue to what's going on. It's the devil, man. I mean, this. Nobody talks about the devil. The devil is strong. The devil is very active, and nobody talks about it. I mean, you know, so that really messes me up because all the stuff that's going on is the devil. The devil creates all that. The devil creates death. The devil creates to kill, to destroy. You know, so I mean, that's all I have.
All right, good point. Let me go to Don. Hi, Don.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
Hey, Amos, you know, you started the show off by basically going with the media. The media is one of the main culprits of this whole problem. You know, they've created the stereotype against black youth in this city, and this has been going on for years, that it's really hard to erase. When you think about the status quo down in Briar Ripple, you know, it just doesn't mix with the black culture. You know, it's like mixing water with oil when you mix white with black. And the bigger issue is about behavior. A lot of it's a behavior issue. Because, see, if a white person's down there acting a little off, they're going to arrest them, too. Mm-hmm. You know, we go down there, because I've been down there, you know, 10 o'clock, and, you know, not past 10, and I've had a great time in Broad Ripple. I haven't had any issues because I guess the behavior that I can conduct doesn't, you know, have anybody say anything to me. But when, after 10 o'clock, there's a different behavior that shows up in Broad Ripple that doesn't match the status quo in Broad Ripple. I think if when people went down there and behaved themselves, just like, you know, the Expo, that's why we had so much police presence, because it was like, you know, they expect some behavior issue, and that's why they have all these policemen. So it's really about the behavior,
well,
I believe.
Don, I hear that, and you mentioned Expo, and I think the issue with Expo, particularly the crowds downtown outside the convention center, the issue were large numbers. When I say large numbers, several hundreds of unescorted persons underage. So we're talking, you know, unescorted people between the ages of 14 and 20. Not necessarily large numbers of people from the ages of 21 and up. Okay, and so you had loud talking, people smoking, not just cigarettes, but all kind of funny little smells that I would smell standing out there on the corner, in front of the mall. Some loud, some boisterous. Now, what I don't know, because I've not seen it with my own eyes, is whether that same pattern of hundreds of persons moving in packs is occurring in Broad Ripple. Is it really underage? In other words, persons under 20, or are we talking people of drinking age, or people of college age who are sitting there with their phony IDs? That's the only way you get in the club. You know, walking around. When I hear loitering, if you've got an area of 12 to 20 bars in a 3 to 5 block area, you're gonna, I thought that's what you do is loiter around area bars because you're bar hopping.
Wow. Well, I'm gonna give you one more quick example. Okay. My son's 21, so he just turned 21. Of course, him and his buddies, he's been down to Broad Ripple. He goes to IU, but he was saying, Dad, you know, the partying situation at IU when you go to a club or bar situation is totally different than when you go down to Broad Ripple. He says, because at Broad Ripple, you get everything in the Broad Ripple. You know, you get the high school dropouts, you just get everything.
Okay.
And he's even said, you know, he's been there after 10 o'clock, and there are some issues. There are some behavior issues that he's not even used to that occur. So, I mean, you might want to go down there. Like you said, what time would you go down there? Go after 10 and stand where those people got shot. That's basically stand in that area. Mm-hmm. That's when you'll see what they see. And that's my comment.
And Dom, would you agree with me that there would be no, I don't think the community would take it negatively if the Broad Ripple Association came to the community and simply said, this is what we see, and just started recounting what you just recounted? I don't think anybody's going to take that negatively.
Well, you know, I think we would, because we always have somewhat of a chip on our shoulder sometimes,
right.
Amos.
Right.
You know, so they some would. I believe they would.
Okay.
So that's my comment.
All right. I appreciate it, my brother. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is. Chief is coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to him about some law enforcement stuff and others. And Broad Ripple and some other stuff. It's afternoon's name is after these. And I got an email responding to one of the previous callers. Charles is painting all blacks with the same broad brush strokes as others paint us. How can we ever hope to defeat negative stereotypes when we perpetuate those very same lies over and over? Not all blacks who go to Broad Ripple go with the intent of causing problems. Not all whites who go to Broad Ripple go with the intent of simply having a good time. Some go to cause problems. 239-1310 to the phones and Anthony. Hi there.
Hello, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hello?
Hi, I'm fine. Go ahead. Anthony, wherever you are, it's very noisy. If you can get somewhere that's a little quiet, I'll roll your window up.
Unfortunately, I'm on the road or on the highway right now. It's pouring where I am. That's probably what's causing the trouble.
All right, what's up?
Actually, I was wanting to make a rebuttal to the first caller's statement. I guess his name was Charles.
Yeah.
And the previous one. I'm 21 myself. I had just turned 21 some time ago, and I go down to the Broad Ripple area quite frequently.
Okay.
And I feel like Charles is stuck in a time period that's no more. And when you go to Broad Ripple, a lot of times the blacks and whites act no different from each other, except you'll have maybe the blacks a little bit more confrontational. However, generally when everybody's down there, everybody's having a good time. Now, just as you were saying previously, when people are generally bar hopping, and then you'll have those, of course, who get drunk, and then they have their drunk banter or banter and drunk moments. A lot of times, if you go to Broad Ripple area and even downtown, you'll see a lot of times the whites being more so the aggressive drunks. And a lot of times you'll just see the blacks kind of doing the same thing. So it's not necessarily just the blacks. And to kind of go to your question that you previously had, I would feel way better if Broad Ripple Village were just to have simply said no instead of to have stated that, well, you would have to ask the police.
Mm-hmm.
We already know that they don't want us there. We already know that they're not even going to invite us to the meeting, but to the fact that you said you have to go to the police, first off, when has the police ever done anything for us, so why would they come to us now?
All right, interesting points, my brother. I appreciate it. Stay safe on the road. 239-1310. 239-1310. Got another email at praiseindy.com. Hi, Amos. Our son, who is biracial, frequents Broad Ripple on a regular basis. He tells us that the problem in Broad Ripple is the under 21 crowd who can't get in the bars and choose to hang out on the streets like he did when he was under 21. According to him, the police officers tend to gather together, laugh, and have exchanges with people who have drank too much. Perhaps the problem is curfew violations, and the solution is to enforce the curfew law. If there's a bigger problem, perhaps it's time for Indy to realize how large it is and is getting, and thus police Broad Ripple as Chicago polices the Rush Division Street intersection. Drew knows about that. That's the big bar district on the north side of Chicago, Rush and Division Street. That's like Broad Ripple on steroids, right? Broad Ripple condensed into a big intersection. One block. All 8 million bars on one block. Have a couple of officers on horseback. Ooh. Who have a better view of the crowd and can keep it moving when the mulling starts. If there's a problem, officers in cars and on foots can be called in. That's a great, we'll mention that to the chief. I'm sure he's on his way making notes. The other thing with curfew only works for those under 18. There is no curfew for 18-year-olds, so if college students who are 18 to 21 hang in Broad Ripple, they can hang all night, legally. Because if you start a curfew between 18 to 21, you'll have a revolution on your hands with every college student in the Western world. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Back to the phones. And Angela, hi there.
Hi, Amy. This is Angela.
Yes, ma'am.
This is my first time caller.
Well, hold on. We got to give you the salute if this is your first time calling. There we go.
Okay. Well, I just had just to say, my son back in 2005 was at the Shelbyville Casino, and he picked up a ticket off the floor, and he proceeded to walk away, and then this lady ran after him, was like, "That's mine," and he was like, "Get off of me," and her finger got fractured. Well, the Shelbyville jail put him on, gave him a $4,000 bond, okay? We got him out. So now in 2014, in March, he had a jury trial, all white jurors down there in Shelbyville, and they had the nerve to find him guilty on all charges, and he's for armed robbery just for picking up a ticket in the casino. So I'm just saying to say racism do exist. You know what I mean? I feel in my heart that it was just so wrong.
So wait a minute. He was found guilty of armed robbery. Did he use a weapon?
No, he did not have a weapon. They said because of the lady, when he picked the casino, picked the ticket up, and the lady proceeded to run after him saying, "It's mine." And you know how you just jerk and like, "Get off of me." Well, her finger got fractured. She wasn't even in court or nothing when the jury down there found him guilty and gave him 13 years. Suspended 3, and he got 8 to deal with. It's just so wrong.
Well, did he have a public defender or a real attorney?
He had a public defender first. He had a real attorney also. But at the end of it, when he went to the jury trial, he did have a public defender. But they are trying to get it, after he gets to prison, you know, to take it back and get it looked at.
It needs to be, and the sentence occurred when?
This March, and this thing occurred back in 2005.
Wait a minute. Why did it take from 2005 to 2014 for it to go to trial?
I don't understand it, and he has been going back and forth down to the Shelbyville court. You know, back and forth, out on a $4,000 bond, okay? And then he finally, they gave him a jury trial, and then they had a paper down there in Shelbyville with his picture on it. I'm like, are y'all serious?
What do you mean a paper with his picture on?
Talking about the crime. We finally got him after 5 years, you know, this case, and we found the prosecutor worked. A lady wasn't in court, you know, to testify on it.
Have you talked to the ACLU of Indiana, American Civil Liberties Union?
No, I didn't know who to talk to. I just been so stressed out about it. I just talked to it about the Lord. You know, and my son, like he said, and I went to court when they sentenced him, and I told them, you know, that I was a single mom with three kids, and I did the best I could to raise them. And he was like, "I understand." He said that my story touched him, but he still had to do what he had to do. That's what the judge down there in Shelbyville said.
I'm still trying to figure out what is the armed in armed robbery.
He picked it up, and it was in the casino, I guess. And it was kind of live then. It's grand now.
It's what?
It's grand casino now, but when it's...
No, but that's not... armed robbery means using a weapon.
No, he did not have a weapon. No weapon, but they said by him picking it up, and the lady ran after him talking about it's my ticket, her finger got fractured. I guess that's what they made it the armed robbery, I guess.
That's not armed robbery. That's something else. You need to talk to an attorney that can file an appeal, and also talk to the Indiana Civil Liberties Union, ACLU of Indiana.
ACLU, I appreciate that.
All right, thank you. 239-1310. Somebody said it was a strong arm robbery. Even strong arm robbery is not armed robbery. Maybe strong. All right, back to the phones and Miss B. Hi there.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
I had a comment make about the image of these young men. When Broad Ripple, it's been a while, it's been some years, I'll say, but Broad Ripple used to have hippies, had skinheads, and they had Klansmen. They walked, they had all kinds of different clothes, haircuts, and colors on their heads and different things. And nothing ever was done about that. And why'd they complain about our kids dressing the way they want to?
Now you raised an interesting issue, because there were hippies in Broad Ripple. There were people with all kinds of hair, and people going, "What are those people doing with the blue hair?"
They were dressing all kind of ways.
They were dressing all kind of ways. And, you know, I think we get so obsessed with saggy pants.
Yes.
And wondering about, you know, I don't know, just saggy pants, who knows?
That's why
I think it's important to really hear from the leadership of Broad Ripple exactly what the problem is. You know, be out there with the leadership of, because I'm not even convinced the leadership of Broad Ripple is out there at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, or midnight when these problems occur. Don't tell me, well, the police need to talk to you. No, Broad Ripple, you're the Broad Ripple Association. You're the ones that need to tell us what the problem is.
Well, they never wanted blacks out there in years ago, so it's no different than what it is. They just they letting them come in and just pretending they like it, but they don't care for blacks anyway.
All right, let me go to Stephanie at 239-1310. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Ms. Thomas. How are you?
I'm fine. What's up?
Good. I'm a first-time caller, too.
Oh, let me give you a salute. There you go. There we go.
I was calling because I'm a young black woman. I have lived near the Barbara area pretty much all my life, and so I'm pretty acquainted to the disadvantages that they give us when we come and be patrons to their businesses.
Okay.
I have visited the club, and I have been able to go, and I've seen firsthand the differences that they treat, how they treat us and how they treat white people who are there. Now, again, I have seen white women who were just as racy as the images that were portrayed on Fox 59 stand on the corner. I've gone to the Vogue, which is a pretty much predominantly white club, and seen women dancing in cages and half naked, but nobody points a finger to that. And I just feel like it's really, really wrong for them to do that and not say anything else about it, like not say what their crime rate is and how they act and disorderly conduct and theft and rape and all the other stuff that happens in Broad Ripple.
Somebody,
that's just my opinion.
I was talking, Stephanie, with somebody this morning that said that the dress code in some of these places in Broad Ripple allegedly are designed that they know the kinds of clothing and jewelry young African Americans wear versus young whites. So they were saying that, you know, young African American men still like to wear the, you know, the gold chains and the jewelry. And they say, well, no gold chains. So that's a way to screen out African American men, and Caucasian men don't necessarily like to do that. In fact, somebody was telling me that it used to be that NBA players, you know, back when the chains were really big, NBA players couldn't get into clubs in Broad Ripple because they were wearing the gold chains. So you got a gold chain around your neck worth $50,000, but you can't get in a club where the cover is $8.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Exactly. Not only that, on top of that, they do what they call, you know, the whole ID thing, where they scan IDs in one club, but then for a black person, but then I firsthand have seen where they let white people come in club freely and drink and do whatever they want to do. So it's like, where is the fairness in that? You know, where do you draw the line?
You know, maybe it's time for organizations that do testing, where you send whites and blacks in to test the dress code and test the ID rules. Maybe it's time for some testers to go up in there and test, you know, whether the discrimination laws are being or the dress codes are being applied evenly and across the board, whether the IDs are being applied evenly and across the board. And a lot of it is, and I would love to have this dialogue and discussion with the leaders of Broad Ripple. Because y'all, we beating Broad Ripple up, and I want to give Broad Ripple the opportunity to defend themselves, to explain themselves. Broad Ripple, if you're listening, Broad Ripple Village Association, I know they're listening, Broad Ripple Merchants Association, our number is 239-1310. My office number is 266-9600. You probably have heard of me over the years, so I am not a stranger. I've looked at some of your board members. Some of your board members have been around more than a day and a half in this city. So the invitation is open for Broad. We'll be nice. Drew will make sure that I'm on my best behavior. that I won't even I won't even wear parachute pants that day, so I can't be accused of having baggy pants. He's going to make sure. He'll make me wear a suit. Anyway, I appreciate the call. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is After News Davis. When we come back, the last time I saw the chief of police was Saturday night. We were down on the corner. Downtown at Maryland and Illinois Street. We were bored because it was so quiet down there at Indiana Black Expo. See, police like it when it's quiet. I think the number of arrests downtown this past weekend, I can count, Drew, on one hand. Maybe just one or two fingers of one hand. Wasn't like they wasn't trying to arrest nobody. There was no crime going on downtown. There was some other crime going on in some other places. The chief will be here in a minute. We'll talk to him about this and other stuff after these.